Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Lord, we honor you, we honor you, we honor you again and again. Thank you for what you're doing with us. We recognize how strategic this conference is in the fulfillment of prophecy for what you're doing in the body of Christ in this nation and beyond. We take our place. We descend the times and the seasons. We receive all that you have for us. We build capacity for the coming year and years. In the name of Jesus, we will walk and not faint, run and not be weary. Thank you, Father, for making this a house of strength, a house of stamina. Oh my God, this is Mount Zion. We go from strength to strength. We go from strength to strength. From victory to victory. From testimony to testimony. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Say loud, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Are you tired? Pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right, this morning I want to just share a charge that I've titled The Ambience of God in Prayer. And through this, I want to show you the potentialities of a man of prayer. And I want to start by showing you something about the prayer life of Jesus. I know you've read time and again that Jesus prayed here and Jesus prayed there, but maybe you don't really understand or appreciate the true intensity of his engagement of the devotion called prayer. I'm not trying to bore you, but you see, there's an early church father called Chrysostom, and Chrysostom came up with the principle of corroboration in Bible study, especially when it comes to reading the Gospels. All right? And I will just tell you simply what that is. But case in point, he believed that if you are reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you don't read them as one, there are some details that you would miss. So for instance, if I got 5 people to tell me the highlight of yesterday's event, they're going to mention several different things. But you guess what? Even if you were a journalist, you will recollect events based on your personal preference. Isn't that true? So on someone's list, if you have a bias for music, you will say, oh, CCW did well. The music was so powerful. Or if you are big on fellowship, you will say, wow, we saw people, you know, from different branches of the church, people we have been interacting with all this while. You know, so chances are that there are some things that will be in one person's list that will not be in another person's list. And that is the way the Gospels are, especially considering that they had different points of emphasis. So there is a reason why John does not start with a genealogy, but Matthew begins with a genealogy. Because the genealogy is important to the Jews. Don't forget, from what we shared yesterday, I told you how that by prophecy, the Messiah was to be born through the lineage of Abraham, specifically through Judah, and then through David. And that's why that genealogy, remember that one that you skip all the time, you're reading Matthew, is actually so important. Before you tell us that the Messiah was born, we must trace the genealogy. It's one of the most important things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So because Matthew was written primarily to the Jews, he must emphasize that. But because they have different points of emphasis, there are some details that may not be as important to them. And that's where corroboration comes in. So for instance, even some testimonies, you will get a fuller context to them when you read it in other books. For instance, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1 verse 40, open there very quickly, Jesus heals a leper. And the Bible says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Oh my God, I'm not trying to deviate, but Jesus is always willing. You believe that? Listen, especially if you're sick and, you know, on behalf of people who are sick, if you aren't, just lift your hands and say, Jesus is always willing.
Jesus is always willing.
Oh my God, he is. He is. And he will show it to you in this camp meeting. Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. Oh my God, this is someone leprous. Nobody wants to touch him. Maybe you are in such a season in your life. Maybe it's not sickness. Maybe it's just the things that are going on in your life and you feel like you are so ostracized. No one wants to come around you. No one wants to touch you. Well, I know someone who, no matter how bad you are doing, he's not ashamed to call himself your brother. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus stretched out his hand, touched someone that nobody will dare touch. And instead of Jesus contracting the leprosy, the Bible says immediately. That's a lesson on ambience on his own. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed, verse 42. And then he strictly warned him and said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer cleansings. You know, so there were principles under the law for cleansings for lepers. And he says, do that. Now, when you come to the narrative of Luke chapter 5, verse 12, you can see immediately that they were telling the same story. Same thing happened. A man full of leprosy. He fell and implored Jesus, if you are willing, Luke chapter 5 from verse 12, make me clean. And the Bible says, Jesus put out his hand, touched him and said, I am willing. And immediately the leprosy left him. Same story, is it not? Answer me, come on, is it not? And he gave the same charge afterwards. Tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest, make offering for cleansing as a testimony to them. So why am I saying this and what does this have to do with prayer? Well, I want you to read what happened before this story and what happened after. Interestingly, Mark tells us what happens before but doesn't tell us what happened after. And Luke tells us what happens after but doesn't tell us what happens before. Hence the principle of corroboration. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is where we're going and there's an important lesson on the prayer life of Jesus. Follow me closely. So go back to the Mark narrative. We read from Mark chapter 1 from verse 40, but this time let's see what verse 35 has to say. It says, and in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, like we did today, right? Not that long, shall you? Six you came now. Daylight in some countries, six is already bright now. What do you mean? Anyway, you a little. Let's assume this is you also. Risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Oh my God. So you can look at this and make an intelligent conclusion that the prayer life of Jesus fueled his miraculous ministry. Can we conclude that? But just in case you're unsure, look at this. But look at this. So Jesus likely prayed all night, for most of the night, a long while before daylight. 1 hour is not a long while. 2 hours is not a long while. Must have been more than 3 hours. Okay? And then what happened after? This is a very powerful testimony that could not be hidden. The news spread abroad. At least, the logical thing to do is to relish that testimony for a while. But you know what the Bible tells us? In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, immediately after that, the Bible says, and he withdrew himself, KJV, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So look at that. Jesus was just coming out of a night vigil. Saw a lame man, a leper, cleansed the leper. After that, he withdrew himself again. What kind of man was this? So you have to understand, and the reason I'm telling you is this. Prayer was not just some activity for him. Listen, this was his lifeblood, the lifeblood of his ministry. This is what he lived on. Before that incident, he prayed. After that incident, he prayed. He withdrew himself again. So this was something that he did often. NKJV of Luke chapter 5 verse 16 says, he withdrew himself often. It was a habit. One of the things Reboot Camp will be known for forever is that it will be a baptism of the culture of prayer. Say loud, amen. Whatever else you get from Reboot Camp, you know, just as the name implies, we want to reboot. We want you to reinvigorate yourself in God and get your prayer life back where it ought to be. Just in case you've been lacking or lagging behind in one way or another, this is a spiritual jumpstart opportunity, all right? To wake you out of your oblivion into a vibrant prayer experience. Say loud, amen. Amen. Come on, I said, say loud, amen. Amen. If the Son of God wouldn't do life without prayer, best believe you can't. You can't do life without prayer. You cannot do life without prayer. You cannot do. Put this into your schedule. Make sure you are never too busy to pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your life depends on it. Every other thing you will rather do depends on this. Spend time. It's very instructive that Jesus did this. Very instructive. So if indeed this is the captain of your salvation, you must pattern your prayer life after his. Pattern your prayer life. So as you are here, some of you, listen, the Lord is giving you instructions on consecration. Instructions. He's going to reorder your prayer life. Your prayer priorities. He's going to reorder it. I want you to open your heart to that. God must speak to you in this camp meeting about that. And best believe, when the Spirit drives you into the wilderness, he knows that there is a cross coming. You better be ready. Do you understand what I'm saying? Take that time. When God nudges you to pray more, if you ever have a nudge that you should be praying more, God is warning you. He's warning you. Otherwise, there will be things that you will not be prepared for. You have to understand, and let me say this. How do I put it in a way that you understand? All the supernatural advantages of the believer are powered by prayer. Did you hear what I said? Powered by prayer. I don't think it would be extreme to put it this way. You have no advantage without prayer. No advantage. If you have the Holy Ghost, it is not an advantage if you don't pray. If you have the Word of God, you know the Word of God, it is not an advantage if you don't pray. If you've been called to ministry, it's not an advantage if you don't pray. You see, you have to understand how the power of God functions in us. When in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, and you shall receive power, Greek word dunamis, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You have to understand that his choice of words informs us of how the working of God in our life should be and how we should be executed. The Greek word dunamis is the word from which we have the English words dynamite or dynamo. And from dynamo, those of us who did elementary physics know a thing or two about dynamo. For instance, you know, I remember I had a torch, an unusual torch that was a gift when I was a child. But this time around, this torch had no battery, or at least not the conventional battery that we know. This torch had a magnet and had a coil. So what you do, some of you know physics, if you shake the battery and it keeps going in and out of the coil, electricity is generated. Not just is it generated, but to the extent of the shaking. That technology in physics is called dynamo. It's the same principle with which air turbines work. So as the air is moving, there are batteries that are rotating, and for as much as the air is moving, that is as much electricity as is being generated. So it is noteworthy and instructive when God tells you, you shall receive dunamis. It means it is potential. You have something to do with it. And this is why James educates you. He says the heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. It does what? Amplified says, makes tremendous power available. So there is something to do to make it available. You might have it in its potential state in you. If it is going to be available, there is what to do. Heartfelt, continued prayer. You will stir yourself up. Come on, are you with me? Power has been dormant in you. I keep telling you this, and I never forget. I remember the day it hit me. Think about it. You believe in the rapture, and so you believe that you have enough power inside you by the Holy Ghost that will be triggered by a divine trumpet, a divine clarion call. And by that power inside you, corruption will be swallowed up by incorruption. You already have it inside you. Like, it doesn't matter how long the believer has been dead. For aeons, at the trump of God, boom! Think about that. And corruption will be swallowed up by incorruption. You have that much power. You see, if someone should raise the dead now, you say, oh, that's great power. But I'm telling you, if when Jesus comes, someone had been dead 2 months. Are you listening to me? The Bible tells us, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. It doesn't matter how long. So now, here is a believer walking around with that much power, and we don't see evidence. Something is wrong. And the reason you don't see that much evidence is because it is dunamis. It's in its potential state. You have to learn to make it active and vital. You beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. There is how to build. Help me nudge the person by your side. Say build, 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 build. And so prayer was so important in the life of Jesus. He doesn't just tell us from his personal example that we ought to pray. He tells us repeatedly what will happen if we don't. And there are 3 instances that stand out, you know, where Jesus in Luke chapter 8 verse 1, for instance, said he gave this parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that means implicitly that if you do not pray, you will faint. So if you find yourself lacking spiritual energy in some aspects of your life, on the strength of the word of God, I can tell you categorically that there are some things that are going wrong in your life that will not be going wrong if you had been praying more than you have. Please, are you listening to me? The old songwriter says, oh, what things we often forfeit and what needless pains we bear. Think about needless pains. I've told you this and I'll keep crying out. The devil gets away with a lot. He gets away with a lot. He will just come wreck good families And that sweet relative you've always known and had, a strange ailment will just come, and before you know it, gone. Not all ailments are biological. Please, are you listening to me? Not all of them are. There is such a thing as the spirit of infirmity. You know, someone was telling me, he's not a member of this church, by the way, but he said, God used me to come to him in a dream. I laid hands on him and he vomited an idol. Think about that. A known idol in their village. He vomited it. And when he woke up, no more sickness. Think about that. This life is strange. Last month, one of you sent me a message, a voice note that a neighbor sent to her. And she said, that man you used to put on your DP, help me thank him. He came to me in the dream, and then I think, is it family members or some people were in a place or in a prison, and I came there and I said, come out! You know, and she knew instantly God had saved her from something grave. Listen, these are the operations of this. How do you explain this? How do you explain this? I can tell you stories upon stories. Ought not this daughter of Abraham, ought not, this is the question. Ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound this many years, be loosed? Let me prophesy. Everyone bound by any chain, every shackle of darkness is loosed in this camp meeting. It doesn't matter how many generations it has been passed from. Hey, maybe great granddad got it and passed over to granddad and passed over to daddy. It ends now. Let your amen be louder. Let your amen be louder. Let your amen be louder. Please be seated. I have so many stories to tell you, but let's move on. He gave this parable to this end. Men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, a man of God said something years ago and he was criticized for it, but every right-thinking person knows that it is true. He said, just by being in Nigeria, you have to understand that you have a not-so-distant relative that has covenanted with Satan, maybe on your behalf. Just by being a Nigerian, just by being born here. Don't forget, the real influence of the gospel is not up to 100 years here. Some of you, it's not a secret. You know, one distant auntie, one distant uncle, it's not a secret. When they come into the house, your mommy warns you, do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, don't greet and go. Some of you don't even go to your village. And that's true. The only thing is, I've discovered that the witchcraft technology here is still learning. I remember I was in the US for the first time, McDonald's, and a witch flew over. I said, they're there, yeah? I said, they're here. All I'm saying is, No matter where you are, please just be serious. Please, are you listening to me? And so he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he tells the disciples also, as they prayed in Gethsemane, felt tired and were sleeping. He said, I know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I understand. Listen, I understand that you have a busy schedule and it's very hard to keep up with the prayer life. But if you do not pray, you will fall into temptation. So, I mean, time and again, Jesus is telling us the consequences of not praying. I know that you are strong, very disciplined. He's telling you, if you don't pray, you will shock yourself. It will amaze you the kind and the level and dimensions of inconsistencies that will creep into your life, and you will become a shadow of yourself. If you do not pray, you will fall into temptation. It means that what sponsors the stamina to say no sometimes is not just looking in the mirror and saying, giving yourself pep talk. If you don't pray, you will what? If you don't pray, you will faint. If you don't pray, you will fall into temptation. And then he looks at Simon and says, Simon! The devil seeks to have you. Only one wire, have you? Yes. They are looking for you. It's not a prophecy of doom. Do you see? They are looking for you. Are you with me? Uh-huh. Oh, you know that song by Dumb Wayne? The devil seeks to have you. Just imagine someone who is trained in the prophetic telling you they are looking for you. What will you do? The devil is looking for you. I remember, how old was I? Still an undergraduate, about to graduate the university. I was casting out the devil, and the demon said, we watch you every day from India. Who was there? Pastor Bright? I think Pastor Bright was there. Or who was there? We watch you every day from India. I said, I thought we were not on TV. Do you know what it means? An undergraduate has already caused so much havoc. And he was giving me some of the plans. He said, we'll send a dog to bite you. But you see, some things are not mere accidents. Are you listening to me? He said, we'll send a dog to bite you. Or, should I tell you this one? Yes. Don't worry. Or he said, we will send a unilag here. That's why, if I ask, what school did you go? If I'm avoiding you, I'm telling you now. He said, what school? Unilag. I don't know why they specifically said unilag. I don't know. But I'm telling you what happened. The people that were there can testify. But it tells you, even scandals, not all are ordinary. Are you listening to me? Please, don't take it seriously. Or is it a devil that will make us scared? Do you understand? And it was done, I said, come out! Voltage, yeah, you know that. Hallelujah. But I'm saying this again. Please, listen to me. I know you are a child of God, translated from the kingdom of darkness into light. If you are wondering, if you ever find yourself wondering, I'm a child of God, why is this happening to me? Chances are, what I'm saying is the reason. That if you don't have a vibrant prayer life, there will be things that are inconsistent with your stature and your position in the Lord that you will be seeing in your life. Isaiah 40, 30, he assures you, he says, even young men will faint. Young men that are known for strength, for stamina, even young men will... there are levels of trial that will shake you. Think about it. And there is a lot of conversation about what happened to Job and all of that. I feel that the context is greatly misconstrued. The notion that God just permitted the devil do whatever you want is not exactly the case, but we'll come back to that another time. But think about it. A courtroom meeting happened, and because of the verdict from that courtroom meeting, everything started going wrong with Job. His business went down. His family members went down. Everything went down. And someone who is spiritually uneducated will say, chance. It's an evil world. But a courtroom meeting happened on his behalf. And on the verdict of that meeting, things went down. Everything around him crumbled in a day. And some unwise person will just say, ko sera sera. Please, are you getting this? Let's look at that text. There's something powerful I want to show you from there. Isaiah 40 verse 30. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 30. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He says, everybody read verse 31 loud as you can. I know you know it, but try to read it with conviction, with reverence on the word of God, and like you are just seeing it for the first time. Anyway, I will surprise you. There's something you're going to get from this. Everybody read verse 31 together. One, two, go. Hallelujah. Those who wait upon the Lord. You know why he said those who wait? Because not everybody waits. Some people will run off in their own strength. It's part of the deception of the flesh to make you feel like there are many other things you would rather do. So now, when you were praying, it seemed like you're going to faint. Let them just end this prayer time so that you can catch your breath. But guess what? If we had stopped earlier, some people will stay around and still gist with their friends. Haven't you noticed that when you are engaging in a spiritual activity, it's almost as if it's getting too much. You need to catch your breath. All your body, the signs and the signals in your body, your leg will say, is saying, sit down, I will break, oh. You know? And the moment, notice it. I'm telling you this so that you will notice the plans of Satan. The moment we say, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Guy, how far? It looks like flesh is so self-powered. It doesn't need, you can go on for hours in that. You don't feel anything. But the moment you say, let us pray, all your senses will start fighting you. For some, it's lack of training. For some, it's an attack. I want you to know very clearly, it's an attack. So part of praying is to press through that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Press through that. It is one of the ways to keep the flesh under where it's supposed to be. Keep it under. How can you, after 2 hours of prayer, do you understand? You're already, I feel like, yes, I'm going to talk. I feel like the more you pray, you stretch the extent to which you at least begin to have those warning signs flailing in your spirit. When I first started, it was 5 minutes. I'll never forget the first time someone said, let's pray 1 hour. I prayed fervently. You know, have you ever prayed and you thought 2 days has passed? Then you check the time, 7 minutes. Ha! When I checked the time, I said, there's a problem today. Hallelujah. You must build stamina. You must build stamina. You must be. Don't wait till next year's reboot camp for your next prayer stretch. God wants to use this to kickstart something in your life, something that you can maintain. So come, leave this place with a strategy to maintain. And let me tell you this, God will not kill you. He won't give you responsibilities that you don't have the prayer life to sustain. So some of you are hindering your destiny just by you refusing to build the altar that can sustain the destiny that he wants to give you. I believe he will delay you until you build that prayer altar. The devil seeks to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. Even backsliding is not always ordinary. That he may sift you like wheat. He says, but I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Oh my God. So if you don't pray, faith will fail. Even coming to a point where you are doubting, do miracles still happen? Is there a God? It can be an attack. It may seem like honest, logical questions. You are under attack. I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. If you don't pray, you will faint. You will fall into temptation and your faith will be threatened. And it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, shall renew, shall renew. That's why I like God. There is such a grace in the place of devotion. Even if you've not been there for a while, when you get serious, you just wake up. The Bible says to resist the devil and he will flee. And he says, submit yourself to God. At any point in your life, even if you had been sleeping, you can decide to wake up. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can renew strength. Even if the strength has been waning due to your lasciviousness and your lack of seriousness, the strength can be renewed. And he says, they shall walk and not faint. And I like this. He says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. So those who wait, others did not wait. They were going in their own strength. They were going in their own strength, walking with their legs. But he says that people who wait will discover a supernatural advantage akin to a human being developing a capacity that other natural human beings cannot have. Human beings don't fly. He says, but you, when you wait, you will mount up with wings. Has it ever happened that you maybe a friend, two friends were traveling from Lagos to Abuja? One of them was going by road. Left 6 a.m. The other one by 6 a.m. had his bath, had his breakfast, went to the office. He's traveling that day. The other one is on the road, toiling, toiling, toiling. This one went to the office, you know, did walk up until 12. By 12, this one is maybe at Bini or Lagos Road. But by 12, you wrap up work quickly, you go, you pick your children from school. This other one is just approaching, you know, and then going by road. And then you pick your children from school. You have lunch. Greet your wife. Play with your children. This other one is still toiling on the road. Toiling on the road. Has a flat tire. They stop. They're replacing the tire. They're buying the fuel, you know. And by 4 p.m., this other guy drives to the airport, enters the plane, and he gets to Abuja before the person that left 12 hours prior. They shall mount up with wings. I am showing you a divine secret of speed, a supernatural advantage in God. Listen, prayer, rather than being a waste of time, can inject in you some possibilities that you never knew you had. I am telling you, wings can emerge in your business. Wings can emerge in your ministry. Wings, speed of 7 years can be compressed. See, let me give you an example. Some people have never noticed this because all we know is that Jesus walked on water. What if I told you that Jesus walking on water was the lesser miracle? Open your Bibles. Let's look at this. Walking on water was the lesser miracle because the Bible tells us that Jesus let them go ahead. Matthew chapter 14 verse 22. Oh my God. This is a practical example of Isaiah 40. He says, and straightway Jesus commanded them, verse 22, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. So they went ahead. He went to the mountain to pray. And guess what? And when even had come, he was alone. But the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed by waves. And the wind was contrary. Now, verse 25, everybody read together. And in the what? Fourth watch. Maybe you don't understand. In every Jewish night, there are four watches. Each watch is 3 hours. So fourth watch, how many hours had passed? 12 hours. So it means that these guys had 12 hours head start. They went ahead 12 hours before. Now they are stuck. The ship is about to sink. But guess what? Not only did Jesus walk on water, how did he get to them? The bigger miracle was not that he walked on water. How do you show up in the presence of people who left 12 hours before? Do you understand what I'm saying? I believe that something the Bible calls teleportation happened. The transportation of the spirits. Do you understand what I'm saying? Closed up a 12-hour gap. And in fact, I believe he only stopped there to help them. He would have gotten to the other side before them. Those who wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You don't know your true capacity if you haven't prayed. I know you are doing well, but there is a giant in you waiting for expression. I'm telling you, there is a giant in you waiting for expression in that ministry, waiting for expression in that divine task that God has given to you, waiting for expression. Hey, it says, they that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. What if God brought you into this camp meeting to develop a capacity and a potential that you never knew existed? It is time for exploits. Hey, it's time for the ambience of the spirit through prayer. God wants to build glory in life, in your life, a residue of glory. Hey, my God. That when you leave this place, people will know that you've been with God. And mind you, just because you're on the mountain with Jesus doesn't mean you'll be transfigured. While the others are talking and observing, oh, look at Elijah. Look at the others were observing. Jesus' form began to change. Hey, listen, if you are watching others pray, their form can be changing in front of you. 12 months time, they will remind you all the glory you are celebrating them for happened in this same camp meeting where you were just moping up and down, looking and being distracted. People can be transfigured right before your face. Friends that you knew, levels now are changing. God is giving more capacity to people, giving more ability. The Bible says he gives more grace to the humble. If you believe that grace can rest on you, if you believe that what God said can happen in the place of prayer can happen to you, I know you've prayed. But can you watch a little more? Just a little more. Just a little more. Stir up yourself right now. Stir up yourself right now. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. Hey, God wants to hide you under his feathers. Strength for the coming days, so that you will stand in the evil day, and having done all, you will still be standing. When the enemy has exhausted every weapon in his armory,
in his arsenal, you will still be standing. And having all done all to stand. It's time to be strong and to do exploits. Ambience is calling you. Strength is calling you.
Many years be loosed. What are the things in your life that ought to be? Ought not he to have children by now? Ought not he to be married by now? Ought not he to have a job by now? Ought not. What are the things that are but the products of the mischief of the enemy? You are going to prophesy over your life. Just like Jesus told that woman, woman, thou art loosed. Hey, my God. On the strength of the glory that you've stirred up in this prayer time, I want you to prophesy over you and over your loved ones. The things that ought to be, begin to declare them now. 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 Do that as violently as you can. Protocol just help people under the anointing. Do that as violently as you can. Woman, thou art loosed. Zatale, ruta kapalataya, asete ketelelo, embelete kemenendo parika, asete.
Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh
Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, that shine forth your glory.
Asked me to raise a prayer point, and I want you to pray this from your spirit. Every satanic pattern in my family and in my generation, under this anointing, this corporate anointing and grace, I bring it to an end. Did you hear what I said? I bring it to what? Begin to pray right now. Begin to pray right now. Begin to pray right now. Begin to pray. Every satanic pattern in my family, I bring it to an end. And I usher in a new generation of generational blessings. Generational blessings, generational blessings, generational blessings. Those of you in the overflow, listen to me. I sense an anointing coming on someone here, breaking negative patterns wherever you are. Receive in the name of Jesus. Sate baba, pe kapale, runde reto pate kaba, ashende reto pateya. I break.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.